Okay, praise God. Well, I am very honored to be speaking to you. This is tall. I like Bonnie, I'm short. I am so appreciated what Bonnie shared. I really believe that we could go home with that and it would change our lives. But I trust that I've got something that we can add that can just help to bring it all together. And it was a while ago when the Lord spoke to me about doing this conference, and he said he wanted us to do this event. Thank you so much, Kyra. Thank you. Kyra is also short. She's my beautiful daughter-in-law, and she knows what it's like. Thank you. That's way more comfortable. Okay. And as I was talking to a couple of lovely ladies who are here today, I was talking to them in the break, and we were talking about these verses. They're life verses. So if we can get a hold of Proverbs 3 and trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your paths. That's something you can live for. That's something that if we just let those verses, those words guide us, I think we'd be guaranteed a pretty good life because there is so much packed into them. And, you know, even as both Bonnie and I looked at them, there were so many ways we could have gone, but I think we both felt to just zero in on one word, trust. And for me, the word is acknowledge. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And it's such a well-known scripture. It's such an often used scripture. It's on frames. You go to Coorong, I'm sure you can find it on notebooks, on pens, on serviettes, on anything that you want. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How many times have we heard that? In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. But to truly understand this scripture, I really believe we need to take a step back and look at what the word acknowledge means. Now, if I say that I acknowledge, that I'm acknowledging somebody, it can bring many thoughts to mind. I can acknowledge Kirsty. I can wave to her. She's over the other side of the auditorium. I can acknowledge Priscilla as I walk in, just give her a nod. If I was Jordan or Evan, I can acknowledge somebody by saying, sup. Jordan cringed that I was going to use that. But I hear them saying it to each other all the time. They see each other and they say, sup. And I actually said to Jordan this morning, before I give the illustration, what does it mean, you know? I said, I'm not a street talk person. I want to make sure I'm not, you know, saying anything bad. And he said, well, it started off as what is up. And he said, then it got shortened to what's up. And then that's obviously just too long to say. So now he said, you just say sup. So, you know, but they acknowledge each other by saying sup. The world that we live in today is so task-orientated, busy, self-absorbed, that we will often acknowledge people by a nod or a smile or saying sup because it saves us taking the time to actually talk to them. So for me, seeing Kirsty on the other side and waving to her, I'm acknowledging her, but I am not truly acknowledging her if you really want to look at the meaning of the word, because I'm not taking the time to actually go and communicate with her. And that's one of the things I find so much in the Bible, that we can see words, and if we take our 2022 meaning for them versus what it meant when they were written, it's so vastly different. And we have to make sure that we don't just read the Bible with a 2022 mentality. We have to read it thinking, Lord, what are you really saying? And, you know, acknowledging has really become, I may just trust I don't need them for the moment, put them down there. Acknowledging has really become a polite gesture rather than anything which is really significant. And yet I know without a doubt that God wasn't saying, in all your ways, show me a polite gesture and I will direct your paths. Phones are such a great example. When I was little, we had phones like this. Now, I don't mean as in little. This belongs to Levi. This is because I could not find a landline phone anywhere. I have been searching for a landline phone for a prop and I couldn't, so unbeknownst to my grandson, and that I borrowed his. So if he wakes up while I'm speaking and sees this, I'm not sure what he'll say. But this used to be a phone. A phone was where you used to talk. You remember that? Talking on the phone, you know, hello. This has got a very short cord. I won't try to talk on it. Then phone landlines were really overtaken by mobiles. Mobiles. This is my dad's mobile. Now, my dad went to be with the Lord in 2006, and this was the last mobile he had, and he loved this mobile. Now, smartphones were beginning to come in, but he could not be convinced that a little smartphone could do the same as this. I didn't matter how many times I said to him, Dad, let us get you a small phone. You don't have to carry this brick around. But he was convinced that this brick had far greater power than those little things that I held. And so you went from a landline to a mobile. But then mobiles, when they became smartphones, you went from talking to texting. So how many I could actually say, my four children very rarely talk on the phone. They text all the time. In fact, one of my children, if I ring them, will text me and say, did you want me? It's like, answer the phone. And it's like, and I remember I've talked to them sometimes, and Jordan's like, why would I answer the phone? I just text. So it's the same thing, but now they text. But then in 2011, Apple introduced something called emojis. And emojis, I found out as I studied it this week, I didn't know this beforehand, they came from Japanese game shows. That was where they were actually first invented. And then Apple obviously saw, that there's a market for this. So then they brought emojis to phones. So now you don't even have to text. You can just send an emoji. So Caitlin, says something to me and I can just smiley emoji, heart emoji. So I've gone back from talking to texting, and now all I'm doing is actually sending a picture, and not even a picture that I drew, praise God. If anybody knows my drawing, Karen, you're allowed to laugh. If anybody knows my drawing, you'll know that you wouldn't want to see it. But I'm just saying that, so do you understand the difference? But all of these are acknowledging, okay? If Caitlin texts me and I send her a smiley emoji, I am acknowledging her. The same as if she rang me, which, is rare. And rings me and says, hello, and we talk. You're acknowledging. But then even recently, and I looked it up last night, they said at the end of 2016, Apple came up with what they called a reaction feature. So where you can either press a like, your thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a heart to a text. So you don't even have to go to your keyboard and actually look for an emoji now. You can just press on that text and scroll. You've got five options. I think one's ha-ha and one's an exclamation mark. You've got five options. You can just press one of them and it immediately sends it back. And that is acknowledging. But you understand how the word really is changing and is growing less and less and less in its power from talking face-to-face, talking on the phone, even texting back and forth. My son is texting emojis to me while I'm speaking. That would be right. And so the current meaning of the word is so different to what it was when they said in Proverbs that we are to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. But how many of us can carry the current meaning into our day-to-day lives? Give God a wave as you get in the car in the morning. Thumbs up, God. Yeah. The Lord speaks to you and it's like, quickly, press the like button. Do you read your Bible app and do you get the reaction feature and put a heart beside the scripture? Do you understand? It's just such, it has gone down so much that if we're going to say we're going to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, we've got to be careful that we know what we're truly saying. Because acknowledging is so much more. God doesn't want us to react to a scripture. When God speaks a word to you, he does not want a thumbs up. Or a smiley face. Or if God's asking us to acknowledge him every day, he's not talking about a sup. A wave is you jump in the car to drive to work, a nod. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what the word acknowledge means. Now, I may actually put Levi's phone down there before it, just in case it talks back to me. So the dictionary meaning of the word acknowledge is, and I think they'll be putting these up for me, is to accept, to admit the existence of, to recognize the importance of, to recognize the right and the authority and the status of, to take notice of and to be conscious of. So that's Webster's Dictionary. Then if you go to a Bible dictionary, the meanings are to become intimately acquainted with him. I love this one. A mental awareness of God and the consequential submission to his lordship. To know him is to love him. To give him the rightful place in my life and recognize his role in leading me. How different is that to a thumbs up or a thumbs down or a smiley emoji? So when God says, in all your ways acknowledge him, it is totally different to what we would think of when we think of acknowledge in a day-to-day basis. He's saying, I want you to become intimately acquainted with me. I want you to have an awareness of me that causes you to submit to my lordship. I want you to give me the rightful place in your life, and I want you to recognize my role in leading you. And that is such a different understanding. And as I was preparing and praying, the Lord spoke to me the other night. It was actually in the middle of the night, and he said, in order to truly understand this and to let the ladies understand it, he said, I want you to reverse that scripture. So I want you to say the opposite. And if you write that scripture down opposite, it says, in all your ways, ignore my voice, and I will allow you to make your own path, and I will clear your own way, and you can clear your own way. I thought, how awful is that? How horrendous is that? I would not want to be living a life where I'm saying, in all my ways, I'm ignoring him. And so he's allowing me to make my own path and to clear my own way. I'm not a very good clearer. I'm not a very good maker. And so God is saying he doesn't want us to ignore him. So we've got the two things. We've got the understanding of what the word acknowledge is, but then the opposite of what acknowledge, which is ignore. And I wanted to break it down, I wanted to come up with something which we're all familiar with. And I would trust most people in the room will have one or use one. And yes, boys, you can begin to come up. And that two of the boys are going to be my helpers. So pray for us. I want you to imagine that God is like Siri. God is actually your GPS, your global positioning system. A GPS only works and benefits you if you listen to it. Having a GPS in your car does not guarantee you will get to your destination. My girls can testify to that. Having a GPS that is just sitting there, you can have the most expensive GPS that is around. It can have all the bells and whistles. It can speak in 50 accents, 30 different dialects. It can do everything. But if you do not listen to it, it is absolutely of no effect. It doesn't matter how much you paid. It doesn't matter how expensive it was. And, imagine going back to JB Hi-Fi. Okay, Jay, we'll use Jay as an example. Jay's just got a car and he's put in a GPS. You are going to be in the back seat in a minute. I'm just using you as an example. And he puts in a GPS, but then a couple of weeks later, he goes back to where he bought it from and he says, this is stupid. I get lost all the time. He said, it's never ever got me to where I wanted to. And the salesman says, well, do you listen to it? He says, heck no. He said, why should I do that? He said, it's in my car. It should get me there. Now you imagine, yeah, it's on autopilot. You imagine the looks he would get from that salesman and he would not get his money back. But how many of us as Christians do that? And you've got the Bible, you read the Bible, you hear the Holy Spirit, but you do not listen and obey. So therefore, it's going to be of no effect. So the GPS is what gets us to our destination if we will listen and obey. To acknowledge a GPS means to recognize the importance of it, to be conscious of it, and to recognize its role in leading you. And so one of the things I want to do now, and you boys can come over with Brooke, and that I ask the Lord to show me ways that we can ignore our GPS or we can unacknowledge our GPS. And I want you to understand something. I don't think any of you would be here on a Saturday afternoon if you chose to ignore. You wouldn't do that. I don't think any of you would have given up, you know, 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon, except you had a great afternoon tea, but to come if you weren't serious about wanting to go on with God and wanting to, God to lead you. So then if it's not done on purpose, then how can we unacknowledge? You're the teacher. I don't think it's a word, is it, Vonnie? But we can make it a word today. We can acknowledge and unacknowledge. We've created our own word. So I prayed and the Lord gave me 3 or 4 examples of how we can unacknowledge God. Not on purpose, but just by mistake. One of them, and that they're going to do this illustration. Now I will explain. Brooke is driving. We didn't bring a car up. And she has driven to the city. She's driven to the city to pick up her brother and his best friend. And she is driving them home. Now, what I need you to understand is she doesn't know where she's going.
That's also a real life.
And Brooke, I've got to say in honesty, Brooke has many amazing attributes. Geography is not one of them. So that's
shockingly bad.
Yeah. So she really, really needs a GPS. Like sometimes to go to the shopping centre that we go to all the time. So do you know what I mean? So you've got a driver who's in need of a GPS, who is now driven to the city to pick up these two guys, and she is now going to get her way back home, and that where she doesn't know how to go except by her GPS. So I want you to pretend she's put her GPS on, she has started, and...
had chicken in it. Yeah, it was nice.
I thought it was beef.
No, it was chicken.
It
might have been pork. Yeah. Might have been pork?
Yeah. I think it was beef as well.
It was cheese.
Oh, my God.
Brooke, you plug my Spotify in quickly.
You're going to love this.
You'll love this one.
You're going to love this. Just focus on this song. Concentrate.
Listen to this song.
It's
a good one.
Okay, please give them a clap. Thank you so much. How many of you think Brooke will get to her destination? Okay, no,
one of them will be dead.
Okay. That was a real life example from my life, and my directional skills are a little bit better than Brooke's, but I picked them up from the city. And I missed my turn off on the way home, even though I knew which way to go. I don't want to pick a car. I missed my turn off because they were so loud and they're dancing in the back seat and they're singing and they're having a hoot of a time. And I'm like, I can't even concentrate. And I go on this road all the time. And then suddenly I'm like, we're on the way to Frankston. Good Lord, I missed my turn off. And that. So that was a real life example. So one of the ways you're not choosing to ignore the GPS, but one of the ways is by having too much noise. Too many things that are vying for your attention. And they don't have to be bad things. The boys are not bad. I love them both to bits. And that music isn't bad. So you're not actually talking about bad things, but God is saying you need to be still and know that I am God. And if he's speaking to you and you have got all this noise happening around you, it's going to be very hard to hear his voice. And he speaks in a still, small voice. You know, your GPS, Brooke's GPS, didn't suddenly start yelling really loudly, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, to try to compete with the boys in the back. The GPS stayed the same. The boys in the back got louder. And that The Holy Spirit will not yell to compete with the other noises in your life. And, you know, some of the noises, I said, Lord, what are some of the noises we have? Because, you know, that's a funny illustration, but it's not just boys in the back seat of the car. And that, how about social media? Social media can be very, very loud. Very loud. You can hear so many opinions. You know, everybody can be speaking. I like social media. I'm not against it. I'm on it myself. But I have to very much watch how much time I spend on it and what I do. And the fact that I'm not sitting there scrolling, reading everybody else's opinion, then asking God for his direction for my life. You know, social media can be very directional, really can. It can really begin to sway you this way or that. And that besides social media, just general noise and clutter, do you spend time on your own with God, away from everything else? Family life can be busy, it can be loud. Find time to spend on your own with God. Find time to listen to the Holy Spirit. Too much noise can cause you to not hear your GPS, and it can cause you to go off track and you don't even really know it, like me when I was literally driving and I'm thinking, why are we heading to Frankston? Because I should have turned off a long time ago. And the noise in the back had just so, and not in a wrong way, but so distracted me that I had just kept on going, not in the way that I should go. And we must stop and on purpose turn off our social media, turn off the TV, turn off from the radio, turn off from things around. None of these things are wrong, but they will all fill your life with noise. And make sure that you're in a position where you can hear the voice of God. Because it says, in all your ways acknowledge me and I will direct your path. So you're looking for direction for your life. You're looking for him to clear the way. Make sure that you can hear what he's saying. And that is one of the ways that we go back to one of the very first meanings of the word acknowledge, where it says to recognize the right and the authority. And I recognize the right and the authority of God, and I want to make sure that I can hear him. Another way that we can ignore or unacknowledge is watching where everybody else is going and following the crowd. And that is such an easy thing to do. God tells you to do something, to go somewhere, but everybody else is going a different way. And it's a lot easier to follow the crowd than it is to stand out and to do something different or to do what God has put on your heart to do. And that God may tell you to do something with your money. He may say, I want you to sow this money, or I want you to do this, or I want you to do that. But then you see all my friends are saving their money. You know, it doesn't matter. That doesn't mean they're wrong. That just means you do what God has told you to do. You know, I can tell you from a personal experience where Peter and I had a situation where we followed rather than listened. And we were in Texas in 2013. We literally arrived the day before. We'd flown over for a conference. We had flown a direct flight, Melbourne to Dallas. So it's 16 and a half hours. And then we'd arrived at night and gone straight into a minister's conference the next morning. So we were seriously jet lagged and just, quite spacey. And at the end of the first session, they were going to break and go for lunch, and it was a Jerry Seville conference, and his daughter, Terry, who I'm very close friends with, her and her husband said, we want to take you out for lunch. And so we said, that'd be lovely, you know. And so they said to the kids, none of the kids were married at that stage, but we had like obviously the four kids. And Rodney, her husband said, why don't your kids jump in our car and they can all go with us? And then he said, this is how you go. And so he gave me the directions of how to get to the restaurant. He gave a sleep-deprived, jet-lagged person directions verbally to go to a restaurant in a country I didn't live in where they drove on the wrong side of the road. So probably I'll cut myself some slack. It was hard. And he gave them to me, and he said, we're in the big black ute. In my mind, I ditched the directions and thought, we'll follow the big black ute. We'll follow the big black truck. How many big black trucks can there be in Texas? Okay. How many? I mean, it was a big black truck. I saw it. And the kids, he had, I don't know how many kids in there. He had mine and his. And they're all in there. And so we get in there. Peter said, where are we going? I said, just follow the truck. So we pulled out onto the freeway, pulled out of the car park, sorry, pull down the ramp onto the freeway. We're driving and we're following this truck. And we're following this truck. And we're following this truck. And Peter said, I thought the restaurant was 5 minutes away. I said, it is. I said, maybe it's bad traffic or maybe Rodney can't tell time. I don't know. You know, so we kept following the truck. And I remember Peter saying, you sure? I couldn't take in the directions. I was too tired. We're following him. And then my phone rings and it's Rodney. He goes, where are you? I said, we're behind you. He said, no, you're not. We're sitting at the table. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. We're in Texas. We are lost. And I said, we're following the black truck. And he said, Christine, every second person in Texas has a black truck. And I said, well, we're following one of those people. And I don't know where we are. And so it took us a long time to get back. I think we made it back in time for lunch. I can't remember. But it was a case of not listening, but just following. Rodney had given me the instructions, so he wasn't at fault. But instead of listening, I had relied, doesn't really matter, I can follow. And that, not knowing that I was going to pull on to the freeway with another truck there and I was going to follow it. I presumed that the truck was his and it was going to the restaurant that we were going to. You don't want to presume that the people you're following are going in the same direction you are, because the call of God on your life is totally different to the call of God on the person next to you. So what God has got for you, what miracles God has got for you, what answers to prayer God has got for you, what ministry opportunities is not the same as anybody else in this room. So if you follow them, you'll be following them to their miracle, but you won't be going to yours. If we kept following that truck, maybe we would have gone somewhere for lunch. I don't know. We could have gone to the next state, you know, and that we could have been following a mass murderer. I've got no idea. But, you know, you cannot just presume that you can follow, because every path is individual. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. It doesn't say in all your ways, watch what Vonnie's doing and then I'll direct your paths. It doesn't say in all your ways, watch what Pastor Peter's doing. It says in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So following is another way that we can very easily get off track. Another one is not being familiar enough with the voice of your GPS. My current GPS is a male voice with an American accent. I did have a female voice with an English accent. So if you have listened to the same voice for so long and then suddenly it changes, you're not familiar with it. So you don't actually often pick it up. When I'm driving, often my mind is everywhere. And particularly if I'm driving on my own, so it's not even like I'm in conversation. Often I can be praying when I'm driving, if I'm driving on my own. If I'm driving with Levi, we have the Wiggles on. If I'm driving with Jordan, we have loud music on. If I'm driving with any of the girls, we're generally talking. But if I'm driving on my own, I often love to pray. If I'm going somewhere I don't know and I've got the GPS on, because I'm only half listening, if I'm not familiar with the voice, I won't actually do what it says. And I have, at the times when we've swapped over GPSs or swapped over voices, I have actually missed turnoffs because I'm waiting for the man with the American accent to tell me to turn right, not a lady with a British accent. And, you know, so many times that we don't get familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it says in John 10, verse 4, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. You only get to know a person by being intimately acquainted with them, which is one of the definitions of acknowledge, to become intimately acquainted with God. You know, I could be in a room of 500 people, but if I heard my husband speak, even if he wasn't supposed to be there, if I heard him speak, I would know it was him. I would not have to see him to know it's him. I know his voice. We've been married for 35 years. We've known each other for probably close on 40 years. And that I know his voice. It never, I could be facing anywhere and have heaps of people between us. But if I hear Peter's voice, I'll turn around because I know he's my husband. And we need to get that familiar with God's voice that we know, that we know, that we know. Even to the point that, like, we have a two-story house and upstairs in our bedroom, Peter and I have a little kind of alcove that, with a couch that looks out over the Dandenongs and over, you know, some of the areas around us. But you're sitting with your back to the door. So you're sitting looking out over bay windows. if I hear anybody come up the stairs, I can tell immediately that who it is by their footsteps. How many mums know what I mean? I'm not making this up. I can tell if it's Caitlin. I can tell if it's Brooke or Jordan or if it's Peter, if it's Levi, if it's Kyra, if it's Caleb. I know their voices. I know their footsteps. I know the sound that they make. Last night I was up there sitting there reading and praying for today's meeting, and the kids had some friends over, and one of them needed to use a bathroom, and the bathrooms downstairs were all taken, so he'd run upstairs. And I actually remember saying, "Who's that?" Because I didn't turn, but I knew it was not footsteps that I was familiar with. It was Josh. Sorry, Josh. And I knew, because I knew it was not somebody that I was familiar with. And you only get to be familiar with the Holy Spirit and with the voice of God by spending time with Him and getting to know His voice. And that. So not being familiar is another way that we can unacknowledge. So having too much noise, choosing to follow, unacknowledge. Another thing that we can sometimes do is, I'll see how I go here. Wow, this is creepy. These are noise-canceling headphones. My son loves them. I can't stand them. He puts them on when he wants to tune out from everything else. He puts noise-canceling headphones on. And how many times does the Lord say something to you and you choose to put on your noise-canceling headphones? It's like, the child, you speak to a child, and blah, 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 blah. They put their hands over their ears. I'm not listening. Do kids do that at school? Yep. I'm not listening. And that it's the same as putting on the noise-canceling headphones, that you're tuning out on purpose. That's even worse, because the others are kind of accidental. That's more of an on-purpose thing. You hear God say something and you think, nah, I want to put on my noise-canceling headphones. I don't want to hear what you are saying, God. And then when you do that, and that you're not going to hear what God wants. And when He says, in all your ways acknowledge me, He genuinely means that. In all our ways, give Him our time. Give Him our thoughts. Give Him our ears. Let's listen. One of the things is a GPS will not yell, as I said, above competing noise. And the Holy Spirit will never ever yell above competing noise. If you don't listen, he's not gonna yell and scream and jump in front of you. You know, we had a situation, it was on the same trip to Texas when we were flying, and Jordan, poor Jordan, he's been so many of my stories, he put his noise-canceling headphones on in the plane, and the air hostess bought the meal, and so he saw it, and he was very polite. He thanked her, waved to her. He says, "No noise cancelling headphones on," and then he goes to eat, and he realizes he hasn't said grace. So he turns around to Peter in a still small voice, he thought, to say, he said, "Dad, we haven't said grace." He said, "Thank you, Jesus, for this food," and he's yelling it. I am not exaggerating. Everybody in the cabin turned around. And they're all just looking. And I'm like, Jordan, take your headphones off. And he's totally oblivious. And he's screaming grace. I used to love going into Coorong, where I don't think they still have them now. I have to ask Cam, where they have the listening stations where you can put a CD in. And somebody's standing there singing really loudly and not realizing everybody else is listening. So, but, we can easily choose to tune out from the noise around us. But God doesn't want us to, because He has great things. He has good things. He has answers to prayer. He has answers to lifelong prayers. He has miracles. He has surprises waiting for us. But it is all totally dependent upon us acknowledging Him in all of our ways, giving Him that right and that authority, and listening to Him every day and letting Him direct our paths. He will not clear the way of the paths that you have chosen. He will clear the way of the paths that He has chosen and that He wants you to walk in. And, I have two stories that are personal, but I just really want us to get a hold. One of them, I remember years many years ago, Brooke wasn't born. I think Caitlin and Caleb were preschool kind of toddlers. And earlier in my, when I was 15, I'd gone through a situation in my life which was pretty tough kind of stuff. And I'd gone to Sydney on holidays with my mum and dad. And while I was there, I'd gone to a Christian bookshop and I'd seen this book for $3 or something called Giving Birth to a Miracle. And it was by this man, Jerry Seville. I'd never heard of him, never heard of the book, but I needed a miracle and the book took my attention. So I bought the book, read it probably 20 times, totally changed my life. And then this was like, you know, I'm going to age myself here, but this was like pre-fax, pre-computers, you know, pre-internet. I got the address of his ministry in Texas and I wrote a letter with a stamp and the whole thing and I sent it off and asking if they could send me a catalogue, if there was any chance that he had other books or tapes or anything. Got about 4 weeks later, got an answer with a catalogue. And that started me for quite a while. Every month when I'd get my paycheck, I would buy at least one or two products from his office in Texas and then they'd post them to me. And so this went on. And then by the time I was married, I think internet was just starting to come in, so you didn't have to rely on the catalogues and that. And then there was faxes, so I could fax orders through. But it was still, you know, and so his ministry had really touched my heart. And I still remember one day I was playing with the kids or doing something and I felt the Lord say, I want you to contact him in Texas and offer to see if there's anything you can do to help bring his ministry to Australia and that to whether, you know, you could sell his books, you know, even just as a depot type of thing or anything like that. And I'm thinking, oh, who am I? This guy's got a really big ministry. Who am I? Just a housewife in Australia. And I talked myself out of it and also busied myself out of it. So I'd both those things. And there were quite a few times that the thought would come up, but then, you know, I would just, oh, yeah, I'll do it. Or, you know, I'd either say, why, how could I do it? Or, you know, yeah, I'll do it, I'll get around to it. And then I remember one night, about 9 o'clock at night, I got a phone call from a lady who said to me, she said, the Lord said, don't let the grass grow under your feet. What he's told you to do, you need to do. And that's a pretty big wake-up call. And I knew what it was straight away. So the kids were in bed. So Peter and I sat and we together wrote this long fax that we sent over to their office, still feeling a little bit like, who am I? This is, you know, this sounds a little bit, you know, like, you know, arrogant. You know, here I am, this person in Australia, but I really believe God wants me to be connected with your ministry. And that it was only 24 hours later we got a phone call. And this man said, he said, you don't know me. He said, my name's Ian Slack. He said, I've just moved to Australia last week. He said, I am the new international director for Jerry Seville Ministries. And he said, he's asked me to open an office in Australia. He said, I come from South Africa. I don't know anybody in Australia. I don't even really know what I'm doing here. And he said, I've been praying, God, you must have somebody here to help me. And he said, overnight, the American office has forwarded on a fax that you sent, offering to do anything he can to bring their ministry to Australia. And it was like he said, let me fly down to Melbourne. And he said, let's catch up, let's meet. We did, and that started what has now been a 25-year relationship with the ministry. Peter ended up running their Bible school for them over here. We have worked with them so much. The family, I think if you put up the photos, I said Brother Jerry has gone on to become a very personal friend of ours. We've gone and stayed with him in Texas. He comes, you know, comes whenever he's in Melbourne, we host his meetings. And so many other doors have opened up. I can think of so many things in my life that wouldn't have opened up if it wasn't for my connection and the work that we do with his ministry. And yet that all started with a still small voice that I almost didn't follow. And so it's not even just saying that if I hadn't have followed that, I wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't be working with him. There's so many other things. And I could spend the whole day telling stories that of what God has done and how he's used Brother Jerry in our lives. He's used us to be able to open areas for him in different parts of the world. All the things that God has done, the connection that he had, because that was part of who I was. That was part of my destiny. That was part of Peter and my destiny. But we could have missed it because I didn't follow the still small voice. I praise God he did give me a second chance. He'd spoken to me once. I hadn't acted on it. He did give me a second chance. The GPS often doesn't, but he did give me a second chance. And I took that one up. And I am so, so grateful, because I wouldn't be who I am today. Now I will cry. I don't think we would be in this facility. I don't think there would be so many things that wouldn't have happened in our family, and my children would not be who they are if it wasn't for the influence that he has had. But that influence may never have happened if I hadn't have decided to acknowledge the Lord in all my ways, like to let him direct my paths, to do what he had told me to do, to listen to his voice and to obey it, even when it sounded a little bit arrogant. But, you know, a young girl in Australia whose claim to fame is being a mother of two toddlers and, you know, worked in a bookshop, basically. But I'm writing and saying, you know, I believe that God wants me to somehow work for your ministry. It sounds so big. It sounds, you know, I even look back sometimes and I'm actually amazed in a sense that I did it, because it's not something I would normally do. I'm not a person that sells myself, you know, that does that kind of thing. But God had told me to do it, and because we did obey, when God was gracious enough, he knew that the future of our family, the future of our church, I would honestly say Brother Jerry has been the most influential in our church, in the way, the things that we have set, in who we have become as an assembly. But if I hadn't have done what I did in listening to that voice 26, 25, 26 years ago, it wouldn't be here. So it is important. There are things in your future. I just really want you to so get a hold of this. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I know I'm speaking to somebody this afternoon. There are things in your future which are so depending on you acknowledging the Lord, listening to him, not just politely having, you know, waving at him, but actually getting to know him intimately and letting him direct your ways. One other story, which is different, but I really felt in my heart very strongly to bring it home to you, is God cares about the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in him and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I'm so grateful that I was speaking to Eve, I believe it is, Rebecca's sister, before, we were saying the power of teaching your children to listen to the Holy Spirit. I think it's the greatest thing a mother can do. And I remember that it was just over 12 months ago, we were in Queensland having a family holiday, having a great time. And while we were there, those of you who know my daughter Brooke, she loves movies, she loves acting, she loves anything to do with drama, and that's very much a gifting and a calling on her life, not just an interest. But while we were there, she found out they were filming a blockbuster Hollywood movie. It was being filmed on the Gold Coast while we were there, and the whole cast was staying in the hotel next to us, but you couldn't get near the hotel. And I remember, I didn't know at the time, but Brooke said when she realised that, she said she knew you'd go outside every day and you'd see all these people lined up hoping to catch a glimpse of one of the stars. And she said she knew that she could go and stand out with, you know, 50 other people every morning and give up a holiday and probably wouldn't see anybody anyway, because nobody had been seen. Everybody was coming in and out of all sorts of, you know, secret ways of the hotel, getting away from crowds. But she said no, she was just going to trust God, you know. And she said to the Lord, if I'm right, Brooke says, she said, Lord, there was two people she really wanted to meet. Number one was the star of the movie, Colin Farrell, or Ron Howard, the director. She said, I'd love to meet either of those, God. But she said, it's just a desire of my heart. I leave it in your hands. I'm just going to fully embrace a family holiday. And we had the most amazing family holiday. But it was the very last day, and we were flying home the next morning. And there was a market that we all wanted to go to that was not far from where we were staying. So we'd all gone down to the market, and then I'd said to Kyra and Caleb, because they'd had a rough night the night before because Levi had been very unwell. And I said to them, I said, why don't you guys go and look at the market, because I know you love markets. I said, I'll take Levi for a walk because he needed to go to sleep. I'll walk him along the boardwalk at the beach. You know, I'd really like to do that to sow into you. So I said goodbye to the family, and I know how we all love markets. And then I went and I was walking along the boardwalk, and I'd walk for quite a while, and my phone rang, and it was Brooke, and she said to me, Mum, she said, where are you? And I told her. She said, just hold up. She said, I want to come and join you. I said, okay. You know, and I said, why? She said, I'll tell you in a sec. And she got there, and she said, the Holy Spirit said to me, leave the market and go and be with your mum. Now, she thought that because we'd had a really tough night the night before, and Levi had been very sick, that maybe either Levi wasn't well or I was emotional and I was struggling and I just needed company. So that was all she thought. And that she, but I said, oh, honey, don't do that. I said, you go back to the market. She said, no, Mum, I know the Holy Spirit said to me, come and be with your mum. So she came. So I said, well, I love the company. We turned, we walked about 2 feet and bumped headfirst into Colin Farrell, the star of the movie. Totally on his own, no security, no fans, no anything. Just standing there. I think there will be a photo that may come up in a minute. And that, and he was getting ready just to go for a run. We stopped. He didn't just, you know, sign an autograph or take a photo. He talked to us for at least 5 minutes. When Brooke said she was interested in movies, explained how they're making the movie, talked about his past movies, and that, like, really, actually, like, he's at the end, he said, thank you for visiting with me. That was what it was like. And that hugged us both and then went off on his run, and we're just standing there like, did that just happen? Now, can I say something? Meeting him does not change Brooke spiritually. It's not part of her destiny in her ministry. But it's a father who said, I love you enough to give you the desires of your heart. And if that's a desire of your heart, then I'm going to cause it to come to pass, because you're not trying to make it come to pass in your own strength. And I love you enough. And there are people here this afternoon, you've got desires, and you think, well, that's not spiritual. God still loves you. He loved her enough to cause an A-list movie star to be standing, you know, to come down from his hotel, to be have nobody around him, and that, and then just to stand, and the whole time we were talking to him, nobody recognized him, and then he ran off, and then the crowd started to follow, and I think he'd been recognized, and it was like, God, this is just, you know, this is so you. But it started from her hearing the Holy Spirit say, don't stay at the market, go and be with your mum. And the Lord didn't even tell her why. And she just thought, well, maybe mum needs it. We had a really rough night last night. Maybe she needs company. And that was why she came. And I just cannot emphasize enough that if you will learn to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways every day, you have no idea what God has for you. You have no idea what blocks he's going to remove, what paths that he is going to open, what ministry opportunities, what desires of your heart, what miracles. But I'm finishing with this, and I'd like if the band can begin to come back, if they can hear me. I was reminded of a quote that we have up in our house. It's taken from the movie Joy, where Jennifer Lawrence, I don't know if any of you have seen the movie, portrays Joy Mangano, the creator of the self-ringing mop. And there is a part in the movie, after being declared bankrupt and having been swindled by suppliers and finances, she confronts those who have been doing the dirty on her, and in a brilliant legal move turns the whole scenario around to once again claim the ownership of the patent for her creation. The end of the movie shows her walking out into the streets of Dallas, unaware that what she had done, and this is, it's a movie, but it's a biopic, it was a true story, unaware that what she had done that day would turn her life and her family's lives around. And she would end up becoming a multimillionaire and creating many things, like padded coat hangers, a whole lot of different things. She had a brilliant mind and that. And as they show her on the movie walking across this deserted street in Dallas, and that the phrase comes up, and this is what I have a photo of, she didn't know any of this would happen as she walked that day in Dallas. She just thought she was doing one thing, but she was opening up a path for her future family. She wasn't married at the time, for her children, for her grandchildren, now for her great-grandchildren. She is still alive, but the legacy of their family goes back to that one moment. And she had no idea in doing what she, in this case, was what she said was her right, that what it was going to open up. And I want you to say that you don't have any idea what path God is put you on and who is going to be affected by it. Because it's not all just about you. It's about who's waiting on the other side of your obedience. And that is the most important thing. And the paths that God has got for every one of us are not just for us, but it's for our family, it's for our future generations, it's for friends, it's for other people. And I want to challenge you today, and I want you to stand as we say, as we close this part out. You don't know what surprises God has in store for you. You don't know what answers to lifelong prayers are about to manifest. You don't know what is waiting for you. But even greater, you don't know who is waiting on the other side of your obedience to follow the path of God so that you can be in the right place at the right time for somebody else. You have no idea the impact that your obedience and your learning to acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. Everyone who knows me knows we have a mantra which we have up in our house. There is somebody waiting on the other side of my obedience. And I want to challenge you today to make a commitment that you are going to say, God, whatever happens, I am going to learn to acknowledge you. I'm not going to be a person that just says, sup. I'm not going to wave. I'm not going to react to Bible verses. I'm not going to send you an emoji in the morning. I'm going to get to know you. I'm going to rely on you. I am going to admit the responsibility that you have in my life and the responsibility that I have to learn to listen to your voice. Just before we close, I'm going to get Brooke is just going to read a response. You can watch her, you can close your eyes, but I really, really ask you just to listen to the response to this message just today.
What will your response be when the GPS sends you a direction you weren't planning? Will you ignore the voice and choose to make your own path? Will you grumble and complain about the unfairness of having to take an exit ramp that no other car is taking? Or will you embrace it? Will you accept that God is changing your plans? Will you recognize the importance of His voice and the authority in which it carries? Will you give Him the rightful place and role in your life in leading you? What will you choose? Remember, God doesn't just ask us to take His path. He also promises to be the one who will make that path straight.
Father, I thank you that I'm praying for everybody here this afternoon. Lord, it is both Vonnie and my desire that they go away having learned to trust and to acknowledge. To trust and to lean into you, not into their own understandings. And to acknowledge and to listen to you, to let you direct our paths. Father, this afternoon will be a win for us if people go out having done that. Lord, this is not about numbers. It's not about afternoon tea. It's not about anything except for you. And Lord, we choose to trust and we choose to acknowledge. In Jesus' name.